So we're on Daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis, about halfway through the Amud, and you will see a Tosus on the side that says V'yamud, and the first word in the line is Iluye, and then we get to Tmarim. Now we're trying to figure out the minimum shear, the measurement of Mazon Shtei Sudos in the case of dates. And Omer Rav Yosef, Tmarim B'Kav. So we need a Kav of Tmarim. Now that's a very large shear, because we said that a Kav equals 4 lugim, which would be the equivalent of 24 beitzim. That's a pretty sizable amount of tmarim. In fact, when we spoke about liquids, you know, in the case of yayin, we spoke about revius yayin. That's a quarter of a revius of a lug. And now we're talking about 4 lugim. I mean, that's like humongous. Now, the Gemara is going to now embark upon an investigation to try to determine what is the source for Rav Yosef's ruling that Tmarim B'Kav, and it's going to quote a Mishnah about Truma. So let's just say a few words about Truma. If a Zar eats Truma in a case of a Shogeg, he didn't realize he was eating Truma, so then what he has to do is he should be Mafrish Peros Mesukanim Tachtehem. In other words, he's got Tevel, he takes off the Truma and the Maser, what he's left with is Chulin, and then he gives the Chulin to that volume to replace the volume of Truma that he ate. And in addition, he's obligated to add a Chamishit. He has to add another 20%. And since he's now replacing Truma, the Chulin that replaces the Truma become Truma as well. And that applies both to the Keren and the Chomesh. Then he gives this to the Kohen. And all this is pretty explicit in the Torah, in Vayikra Chaf Beis, and it's quoted in the Mishnayis in Masechta Trumas. We're going to deal with a Braisa that addresses the case of someone who eats a grogeres, which is a fig's worth of truma, and now instead of replacing it with figs, he replaces it with dates. That's going to be the subject of this price. Omer Rav Yosef, mina minile. What's my source that the shear of tmarim for an erev is a kav? The sanya we learned in the price. I'm going to add the word zar sha'ochal, I'll add the word bishgoga, grogros, which are dried figs, of truma, v'shilem tmarin. And now when he pays up the kohen for the truma that he ate, then he's going to give tmarin and tovel abroch. What this means is that he's upgrading, that dates are considered a malyusa vis-a-vis figs. And that's called yafa min yafa yoser mea min sha'ochal. So he ate, so to speak, a second grade min, which is called grogros, and he's now replacing it with a high grade min, which is called tmarin. Now, for our purposes, we should realize that this braisa that we're learning reflects only one sheet in the Tanoim, and that is Rabbi Eliezer against Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer holds that if you're upgrading, then you're allowed to give a different min if you ate Truma B'Shogeg to replace the min that you ate, as long as you're upgrading. Rabbi Akiva holds, Li'olam Eino Mishalmim Elami Oso Min She'achal, that there's an absolute strict requirement that you have to replace the same min. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, you ate grogros, you'd have to replace them with grogros. And now, we have to add a Gemara in Psachim. All this is sort of an introduction to what we're about to study. There are two opinions as to how much you have to pay if you ate Truma B'Shogeg. One is called Lefi Mido Mishalim, and the other is Lefi Damim Mishalim. So Lefi Mido Mishalim means that regardless of the market value, you have to replace the Truma that you ate B'Shogeg with the same Mido, the same measurement. And obviously, according to Rabbi Eliezer, this becomes very relevant, because Rabbi Eliezer is going to allow you to replace the Truma with a different min yofeh, if it's better than the first. And it's probably more expensive on the market, and yet, according to this, and obviously, if you're paying the same mido to replace the mido that you ate, you're giving the Kohen more than what he originally had. That's irrelevant and independent of the Chomesh that he has to add. The other man, the Yomar in Psochim, says Lefi Damim Mishalim. And what that means is that it depends on the value, the market value, A, of the Truma that you ate B'Shogeg, the Zarit B'Shogeg, and B, of the Chulin, which is being paid by the Tzar to replace the Truma. So we take those two market values and we compare them and we equal them out. And obviously that's going to allow you to pay a different mida, especially according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you're upgrading, you can give a smaller measurement of Tmarim to replace a larger measurement of Grogros, because Lefi Damim Mishalim. And where is this Gemara? It's in the Sugya of Chametz in Psachim Lamed Beis. And the big nafka mina is going to be if he ate a kikar of Truma. The Tzar ate a kikar of Truma. And now Pesach passes. And then we have an Iser called Chomet She'avol of a Pesach. So if we're going with Lefi Mido Mishalim, it could be that the Chomet is worthless. But nevertheless, he has to pay Lefi Mido. He's literally replacing the Truma that he ate. If you hold Lefi Damim Mishalim, then what is this worth? Okay, maybe it's Mutar Bano. You know, you have to know the Dinim. There are many different shitas, but let's say we paskin that this chametz is mutar b'ano. But you can feed it to your dog, but obviously at a reduced price. So that's be lefi damim mishalim. So anyway, that's the sugya in Masechta Pesachim, lefi mida mishalim or lefi damim mishalim. Okay, so now let me give you the inside of Rashi here in our sugya. Rashi says that if he's replacing grogros with tmarim, again reflecting the Shita Rabbi Eliezer that we can give a min yotha, then Rashi says, "Hu yishalim kamus ketana shel tmarim miashera kamus shel agrogros she'ochal." So Rashi is now presenting the Shita of Lefi Damim Mishalim. And therefore Rashi comes to the conclusion that if you combine that with Rabbi Eliezer, that you're allowed to replace the truma with a yafa, with a min yafa. And that's our case here in the Braisa, reflecting Rabbi Eliezer, that you're giving tamarim, which is a min yafa vis-a-vis grogros. Then Rashi says he's going to be replacing a larger kamus with a smaller kamus, because Rashi's now reflecting the shita of Lefi Domi Mishalim. And that's going to be the whole sugya here. Are we assuming Lefi Domi Mishalim or Lefi Mida Mishalim? Om Rav Yosef, Mino Aminale. How do I know that the shear of Tamarim for an Eruv is a full kav? Desanya, we went to the Braisa Zar Sha'ochal Bishogeg Grogros Te'enim Yeveshos Shaltruma Vishilem Avuram Lekoen Tmorim. Again, reflecting the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer Tovol of Bracha, because it's an Ayin Yof. He's giving him an upgrade. By the way, I don't know, is this true today that you would pay more for Tmorim than in the same volume of figs? I don't know. I happen to be a big fig fan. Just that my wife doesn't allow me to eat them, but because of bugs. But I'm not such a date fan. But, you know, dates are very good. Anyway, Tovo Labroch. Hechi Domi. So now Rav Yosef is analyzing this braisa. Ilei Malefi Domim. If this braisa, and that's how Rashi seems to interpret it, is assuming that he's paying Tmarim Lefi Erech Shalak Grogros, in other words, according to the market value of the Grogros that he ate, that's how much Tmarim he's going to give it. The Achel Minei Bezuza, the Kamashalim Le Bezuza. So he ate, let's say, a Zuz's worth of Grogros. And now he's going to pay him back with a Zuz's worth of Tmarim. Is if that be the case, my Tovo Aleo Bracha. The language of Tovo Aleo Bracha means not only that he fulfilled his obligation, but he went beyond his obligation. Ve'halo zuzuzo achal bezuzuzo kamashalim, what's the big deal? Why are you giving him, you know, extra brownie points when he's just simply paying up his dues? Elo lav, but rather we have to assume that this braisa reflects the shita of Lefi Mida. Ah, now the pieces of the puzzle fit into place. The achal minei griva. Griva is a certain measurement of grogros, the shavi azuze. The kamishalim le griva, the tmarim, the shava arba zuze. So the kohen is making a great profit here, because he's getting four times of the market value of what he lost. And that's Tovo Lev Bracha. Now I begin to understand Tovo Lev Bracha. Again, it's a little tricky. It's not Tovo Lev Bracha because of Lefnim Mishur Sadin. You know, he spent an extra 100 shekel on an esrig. No. He had to pay that amount because we're holding now Lefi Mido Mishalim. But nevertheless, he gets a bracha for this. Why? Because he blessed the Kohen, and the Kohen got four times the value, and he was the cause for that great joy of the Kohen, that great profit of the Kohen. Uketani, the Braisa says, Tovo Lev Bracha, Alma Tmarim Adifi. So we see from this Braisa that Tmarim are more valuable on the market than grogos. And now we go back to discuss grogos. And then we'll talk about tomorrow. So it says, right here on Daf Chav Tes, on Omen Aleph, it says that the shear of grogos for Meiser Oni is a kav. Which means that since the Torah requires an asina to fulfill the mitzvah Meiser Oni, when the Oni comes to you in the fields and you're divvying up your Meiser on the third and sixth year, you have to give him an asina chashuv of mazon shtei sudas minimum, and in the case of grogos, the mission in peah requires that you give him a calf's worth of grogos. So if grogos, to achieve a nesina of mazon shtei sudas, requires a full calf's worth of grogos, Rav told us back on Daf Chavtes Amid Aleph that the same shiurim that appear in the Mishnah in Peah with regard to Maaser Ani of Mazon Shtei Sudos are the same identical shiurim that apply to an Erev for Mazon Shtei Sudos. And if that be the case, then we could create a Kal V'Chomer, says Rav Yosef. If in the case of Grogos, to create Mazon Shtei Sudos, in the case of Maaser Ani, you need a Kav, then he says, certainly, Tmarim are Adifimi Grogos, then certainly a Kav would suffice. Meaning, if a Kav of Grogos is enough for Mazon Shtei Sudos, then how much more so a Kav of Tmarim? Okay, so he says v'yomnam. Okay, now again we're going to summarize in this case the Rashi. But he says v'yomnam efsha sheshiurim pachos the pachos mikav kevin shechashuvim yosel mikavin sheinonu yodim v'kamaim chashuvim yosel lochein yesh la'ariv b'kav. Okay, so the Rashi adds the following comment. He says that maybe you can set up an eruv with less than a kav in the case of tomorrow. Because tmarim are more chashuv than grogros. So if in grogros you require a kav, maybe in the case of tmarim you could suffice with less than a kav. So the Rashba says that since we don't know exactly how to evaluate that increment of chashivus of tmarim above and beyond grogros, therefore we're going to require that kav that we require in grogros in the case of tmarim. So again, tmarim has a certain increment above and beyond grogros, but all we know is that grogros requires a kav, and therefore we're going to require a kav in the case of tmarim. Now, one of the super commentaries on Erevin in the last period of history is the Gaon Yaakov. Let me mention to you the Gaon Yaakov was Kahana. His name was Rav Yaakov Kahana, and he wrote Chidushim al Mesechta Erevin on the Bavli, Yerushalmi, and Tosefta. He also wrote an entire book called Zichron Yosef. Not sure why he called it by that name. Anyway, on the sugya of Bein Hashmashos. Probably he was a Talmud of the famous Rav Yosef of Padua, who was a Baki in Shas. Anyway, now, I did not have the time to research exactly when he lived, the Gaon Yaakov, but I think he lived a little bit more than a century ago. And the reason I think so is because his book, which is called the Gaon Yaakov, that's his magnum opus, was published in Lvov in the year Tafresh Chaf Gimel. So I'm going to assume, till I know otherwise, that he published it during his lifetime, approximately 170 or 80 years ago. So he is what you call a late Achram. But I have to tell you that since I started learning Erevin just a few months ago, he seems to be it amongst the Achron. I mean, him and the Chazon Ish, I guess, but he's before the Chazon Ish. So he says the following. He doesn't understand. Ma makom yesh lochiach mi braisa es chashivusa shel atmarit. He says the following. You want to establish, Rav Yosef, that tmarim have a greater chashivus than grogros. So for that, you have to quote a braisa. He says, halo efshal lotzeis l'shuk. We should go out to the marketplace. The liros bekamanim karim atmarim li'umas agrogros. I have a feeling he's asking two questions. One question is, why do you need a braisa? I mean, just go out and, you know, ask the experts what they charge. And he might be implying a second question, that it could be it's relative. Maybe it changes from one society to another. Maybe that's also implicit in his question. Now he offers an answer and he rejects it. He says, Ein lomar sherav Yosef is kavin lochiach ma hoya bizmana tanoim. Then maybe Rav Yosef is only indicating a historical context. At the time of the Tanoim, this was the situation. He says, Sharei ein limod mikach halacha. He says that you would not be able to codify the halacha that in Erevin, with regard to Tmarim, you require a kav based on the description of what went on at the time of the Tanoim. Shebechol zman, Tzorech la'arev lefi mashahu ka'es. Go out into the shuk and find out the market value, you know, on July 1st, you know, 2020 for tomorrow. Don't tell me, you know, what I should have actually, instead of saying July 1st, I should have said the 9th of Tammuz, because that's my birthday. So you could all wish me a happy birthday. Anyway, he says, b'chol es, Tzorech la'arev lefi mashu ka'es. V'lo lefi mashu hoya bizmanim k'domim. You know, my da'ava ava. What do I care? How much you paid for tmarim, you know, when the Yizar ate the truma of grogros and he pays back in tmarim lefi domim and he gives a less, smaller volume of this, of tmarim. Okay, that's very nice and dandy, but that doesn't tell me l'halacha what the shear of an Erev is. Be'emes hadover yadua shetmarim chashuvim yoser. El ravcha de milsa hosif rav Yosef raya lekach mi braisa. Again, I don't want to give my editorial commentary here, but he's saying that there's no question, li'olam vod, I think, I'm adding that, that tmarim are worth more than grogros. The only reason Rav Yosef quotes this braisa, he calls it l'ravcha demilsa l'hosif raya mi braisa. So again, I would add a footnote here. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, that maybe what he's implying is that lahagdil Torah ladira. You know, if you want to know which is worth more than which, and where Chapsa Nafgimina, I mean, Erevin could be a spin-off, but the real McCoy, the real source of sources, is going to be the halacha of Tashlumei Truma. Because if in Tashlumei Truma, we're going to have a situation where Lefi Mida Mishalim, and therefore Tovo LaBracha, in the case where he replaces Grogos with tmarim, because lefi mida means he's got to give the same volume of truma that he ate, now we're talking like a Talmud Chacham, you know what I mean? So for example, you know, I can just imagine, you know, Reb Chaim testing his two sons, you know, the Brisker Rovin and Reb Moshe, and saying to them, well, which is worth more, tmarim or grogros? So the boys are going to look at each other and say, well, let's call up the experts. You know, let's go out to the shuk and find out. Nay. That's not what Reb Chaim meant. Reb Chaim meant, can you quote to me a braisa in Masechta Trumas and prove from the Tavol Abracha Diuk, and we hold Lefi Mida Mishalem, that Grogos, or shall we say Tamarim, are worth more than Grogos. Alright, that's what I think he means by Leravcha de Milsa. But in general, you have to admit, it's a little, the whole sugya here that we learned today is a bit odd. You know, we have to stretch our arm out to a brisa in order to determine that tamarim are worth more. And if it's bizman atanoim, says the Gon Yaakov, who cares? That's not relevant to halacha. And just one last piece from the Gon Yaakov, he says, Haraman posak behilchas erev in perik aleph halach yud aleph kirav Yosef, shashir shal tamarim li erev hu kav, so we're about to learn the next piece of Gemara. Abaye is going to reject this proof from the Braisa. The Rambam, despite this, paskins like Rav Yosef, and he writes that the shear of Tmarim Li Eruv is a calf. So the answer is because the Braisa is only being quoted Leravcha de Milsa. If you reject the proof from the Braisa, as Abai is about to do, it doesn't change the halacha, because the halacha is always the same, that Tamarim is worth more than Grogros, and that's Leolam Vod. And therefore, if you can create an Erev with as little as a Kav of Grogros, then the assumption is that in the case of Tamarim, a Kav will certainly do. If you have a Havamina, maybe you should allow less than a Kav of Tamarim. But that, you know, that's what we said before, you can't evaluate the increment, you know, the extra surplus value of the Tamarim. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says you have no Raya from the Braisa. Why? Li Olam. I could explain that the Braisa doesn't have in mind that he's paying the exact volume of Tmarim keneged the volume of Grogros that he ate. Ella, but rather what we talk about, the Ochal Minei Bezuza, the Kamashalim Bezuza. So we're talking, according to the Madi Omar, that Lefi Domin Mishalim. And therefore, he's going to give him a Zuz's worth of Tmarim. Aye, but if he's giving a Zuz's worth of Tmarim, and now, by the way, Abaye is implying that we're open to a possibility that Grogros are worth more than Tmarim. Because again, Abaye is trying to deflect the Raya of Rav Yosef. So therefore, maybe a shear of a Kav would not be enough for an Erev of Tmarim. Because Tmarim are on a lower level than Grogros. Now again, I don't know why we just can't check this out in the Shuk, but on a conceptual level. So therefore, he's going to have to give him, I mean, he meaning the Tzar, has to give the Kohen more Tmarim in order to match up with the smaller volume of Grogros, because we're holding now Lefi Domim Mishalim. Now, if it's Mishum, right, if it's Lefi Domim Mishalim, then we have the old Kasha, why is it Tavol Abracha? Because Zuza Ka'achil V'Zuza Ka'Mishalim. Umay Tavol Abracha. The ochel mine midi de lo kofitz alei zvina, umeshalim ko meshalim le midi de kofitz alei zvina. So he says the following, if I understand correctly, when you evaluate something in the market value, then there are two dimensions, two elements that have to be considered. One is, assuming you have the same volume of both of these foods and you want to compare them, so what, you know, what is the market value? But there's another element in the equation, And no doubt that also influences the market value, and that is how sellable it is. You follow what I'm saying? Like in real estate, this is so common. You know, you could have two pieces of real estate and they'll give you the same exact market value, but one is a lot easier to sell. So for example, in halacha, you have something called ziburis and idis, the two extremes. Now, if I put on the table a massive amount of ziburis, it has the same value as a smaller amount of idis. But it's a heck of a lot easier to find a buyer for idis than it is for ziburis. Who wants to buy, you know, truckloads of, you know, of cotton, you know, when I could buy, you know, one bar of gold, you know, saying. So as it turns out, according to Abaye, the element of what we call idis is greater in the case of tmarim than it is in the case of grogros. So that even if you're going to have to add a larger volume of tmarim in order to equalize a smaller volume of grogros, because now we're holding that grogros are more chashiv than tmarim, but nevertheless, it's a lot easier to sell tmarim than it is grogros. He says the following: She'ochal me'akohen grogros shem dover she'ein akonim koftzim olav liknoso. So again, even though we're holding lefi damim mishalim, and therefore he's going to have to pay and return to the kohen that volume of tmarim that will bring in the same market value as the amount of grogros that he ate of the kohen, but nevertheless, grogros in this description of Abaye is a dover she'ein hakonim koftzim olav. Tmarim, very easy to find a buyer, and therefore it's called midi the kofetz alei zvini. Shakol koftzim liknoso. So I guess what he's saying is that figs are more common than dates. I'm not sure that's so, but I know in my backyard we have figs growing. Dates, I guess it's, you know, you got to go out to Yericho, you know, and it's find the palm trees over there. He says, Lachain. At the end of the day, the Yisrael is paying the exact value on the market of the grogos that he ate, because we're holding lefi damim mishalim. Mikol makom, hu tashlu meula yoser. Again, not in quantitative terms, but there's like a qualitative dimension, because now he gave him something that kofetz alei konim. It's a rare commodity. Everybody wants to buy dates. It's tovo lav bracha. And now he adds one line to summarize this in the name of the Rashba. He says, "Kevon she'efsha shatmarim chashuvim pochos mikigrogros." Right. So he's going to have to give, as we said before, a larger volume of tmarim to compensate for the grogros that he ate. Is gamlin yin eruv shiurim yoser mikav. Because again, when you talk about the shear of eruv, we're not talking about these other, you know, very sophisticated and, you know, highfalutin abstract elements here of, you know, kofetz alei in shiur lo. We're not talking about selling and buying. We're talking more about the chashivus of the ochel. And we're saying that independently, in and of itself, grogos, according to Abaye, has a greater chashivus than tmarim. And, you know, he's going to have to, the Yisrael, the Tzar, is going to have to replace a, let's say, a volume. Let's say he ate one kav's worth of grogos, he's going to have to give him back two kav's worth of tmarim. But the, you know, the Kohen is a very happy camper over here, because he has no problem finding a buyer for the tamarin. But in terms of Erev, that's what Abaye is the devil's advocate here against Rav Yosef. It could very well be that we need more than a kav of tamarim in order to set up an Erev. Just like in the case of Tashlumei Truma, you're going to probably have to, if you hold the feet dumb and sham, you're going to have to pay or replace more tamarim than the volume of Grogros. So again, I'm not sure if Abaye is telling us anything l'aloch l'maisa. As we said before, the Rama Paskins like Rav Yosef, even though Rav Yosef doesn't even offer a counter-argument to defend himself against Abaye's onslaughts. It could be that Abaye is making a theoretical conceptual comment over here, and he's saying that you, Rav Yosef, were learning the Braisa under one assumption, and that's called Lefi Mida Meshalet. And if he's paying Lefi Mida, then the Kohen is a happy camper because he's going to get a larger mida of Tmarim to replace a smaller mida of Grogros. Says Abaye, no. This price reflects the Shita of Lefi Domim Mishalim. I, Lefi Domim Mishalim, he's paying the same Zuz that he took from him. The answer is there's another element in the equation, and that's sellability. And that puts Tmarim on a higher level because it's a more rare commodity. It's very easy to sell it. So don't bring me any rias to Erevin from the Braisa of Tashlumei Truma. But as the Gaon Yaakov, I think he was here, he would be yelling and screaming that even Abaye is going to have to agree that Tmarim are more chashiv than Grogros. Again, Abaye is saying it's more sellable. That has no bearing on Erevin. But if we're talking about the inherent chashivos, then Abaye might agree, and that's why the Rambam has the license, poetic license, to paskin like Rav Yosef, because ultimately Tmarim have a chshivus, and therefore if for the Erev of Grogros you need a kav, then Tmarim is in the same league, and the shear of Erev Mazen Shtei Sudas is going to be a kav. Then we go on to something called Shesisa. Shesisa is a sugya in Ketzad Mevarchim. I call it the Farina sugya. I don't know exactly if you know what I mean by Farina. But anyway, some sort of a, you know, oatmeal where you pour in a lot of water onto grains, dried grains, and that's called Shesisa. The Israelis call it daisa. Have you heard of that phrase, daisa? It's also in the Gemara. Now, what you have is the following mixture. You've got flour. The flour was created by grains that were baked in an oven, so you dry the grains, and apparently you did it for some reason, again in terms of taste, you did it while they were still fresh and moist. So you do this job really quickly, that enhances the taste. So you take the grains from the field that's still fresh and moist, and you put them directly into an oven, and you make a certain flour out of that. And then you add water and honey. So this is a gigantic issue, as we said in brachos. What bracha do you make on shesisa? You know, it's not your classic mizonos, because again, it's made with dvash, and it's not made from, you know, from a bread kind of substance. And if I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on this, the final maskona is that you make a mizonos on shesisa. But the Gemara is not sure about it there in brachos. Again, it has a mixture of oil, and it has honey, and they added salt and water together with these dried grains, these shibolim yubashos. Omer of Acha bar Pinchas, the shear for an Eruv of Shesisa is Trey Shargushi. So Shargushi is a kind of a spoon. Apparently they knew in those days exactly what the size of that spoon was. And he says in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel that these are midos ktanos shahayu yiduos bizman ha-gemara. So these spoonfuls, yeah, I don't know if it's a teaspoon, a tablespoon, or a larger spoon that you use for cooking, I can't tell you, he calls it ketanos, the yiduos. And Rabbeinu Chananel adds, ka'es enom yiduos. So we don't know exactly the size of these spoons. Rashi identifies the spoon as a collier. I don't know what that word means, but it rings a bell. Collier. And I came across it somewhere, but I don't know where. Now, honestly, I don't understand this Gemara. It seems to me that if I gave you a bowl of cereal, you know what I mean? Like farina and all that stuff. Oatmeal and all that. And I wanted to fill your belly, it would be a full bowl. I don't know why, you know, if I gave you a spoonful of cereal, I don't think you would be happy about that. My intuition tells me that this was Lafayette Boas Apas, although I can't imagine why, but it was part of a larger meal. And the Akeres Abayas, or the chef, would be proud of the fact that he enhanced the meal by adding this daisa to the meal, this shesisa, even though he's giving you two meager spoonfuls of it. I mean, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, it's midos ketanos, he calls it. Now we get to something called kisone. Kisone are the brand, so to speak, the dried grains themselves. He writes, Hem shibolim sheyavshu osam v'tanur v'hem bisbol, based on Rashi, hem nish'arim mesukim li'olam. So when he takes these moist grains and he bakes them in the oven, they remain sweet. U'mehem osim es ha'shesisa el she'derech gam la'ochlim b'fnei atzman k'mo shehen. So as we said before, the basic element, ingredient in shesisa are these dried grains, but you can eat them as such, as dried grains. So what's the shear of these kisone? Omar Abaye, tre bune defumpedisa. Again, so if you live in Pumpedisa, 1500 years ago, whatever it is, you would know exactly what bune are. He says, tre midos yiduos shahayu befumpedisa. Okay, great. That tells me a lot. He quotes here a Meiri, Shemidizu Haisamach Zekes Chofen Achas Mole Yodo. So it's an amount that you can hold in one hand. Let me just see by chance if the English translation adds anything here. Just want to see if I can find this. He says, Shesisa is made of toasted wheat with honey, 2 spoonfuls must be used. I was hoping he would give me a little more than that. Then he says, roasted grains, 2 pumpedisian bune, a dry measure that was used in pumpedisa. Alright, doesn't add much. Omer Abaye, Omer Li Em. Right, you know that Abaye didn't have a mother. She died in childbirth, but there's a woman who raised him from childbirth, and she was called the Em. Hani Kisani Ma'alu Liliba Umevatli Machshavta. So roasted grains are good for the heart, and they somehow calm a person down. The person's in anxiety, so this is a healthy food. You know, for me, it would be chocolate. Well, what's that chemical called, Mitch? Help me out. Starts with an F? No? You know, the chemical of chocolate that supposedly puts you in a good mood. You know, why are we all chocolate freaks? I don't know, I shouldn't say that we're all chocolate freaks. But it seems that chocolate does have a... No, you never heard it? Oh, you'll Google it. Chocolate does have a psychological element to it, you know, that puts you in a good mood. I forgot what it's called. It's a chemical. We don't have any chocolate freaks here? Okay. Amali, Amrabai Amali Aim, Haiman de Isle Chulsha de Liba, if he feels a weakness in his heart, Lise Bisra. The Atma Yamina de Divra. Okay, there's a lot of heavy Aramaic here. He says, Yavi Basa Shal Yerech Yamin Shal Ail, the right thigh of a ram. Velaise Kibuye Dira Isa de Nisan. Okay. The Yavi Glolim Shal Shar Mire Mitkufas Chodesh Nisan. Okay, I don't know where he's taking me with this. The Lekov, he doesn't have these Kibuye Dira Isa de Nisan. Lysi, he should bring Sugaine Di Arvasa. Yavi Kismin Shal Arava. Vinechabeve Viasamehem Gacheles. I guess from the feces of an ox, you can make some sort of a fuel, a coal kind of thing, or from the kismin shal arava. Yitzla behemes habasar. Now you have these coals, so you can barbecue the meat, again from the right thigh of a ram. V'nechul, and he eats the right thigh of a lamb. And I'm getting hungry already just thinking about it. Not about the glowing so much, but... And if Nishte Basre Chamra Marka, and then he should drink Yayin Mazug, Vizurafua Lechalisha Salev, meat and wine. I could use it, you know, meat and wine. I'm all for it. Omar Abaye, yeah, that's about it. Omar Abiyud, Omar Shmuel. Kolshu lifton, anything that comes to lafes bois a pas, is sheer for erev is what kidei lechol bo, meaning he should be lafes bo as a pas shall stay sudos. In other words, he doesn't need. Well, I don't know if that's mine or. All right, well. We'll see. I'm just trying to learn how to use this. Which one's... Oh, look at that. I think I figured it out here. All right. Anyway. See, he says that you don't need enough of that food to eat the entire meal from that food. You know, there are 2 ways of understanding how Erev works. Mosen Shtei Sudas. You could say, well, give me enough of that X that I want to use as an Erev that it could fill me up for 2 meals. That's all I have. You know, so if I have potatoes, You know, I need for an erev enough potatoes that if I have nothing else to eat for breakfast and supper, I'll eat that amount of potatoes. Nein, that's not it. All you need is kedei lelafos v'sapas. So you have a plate, and on the plate you have meat, and you're eating bread, and you have quinoa on the plate, and now I'm adding a potato on the plate. So how much of a potato would I need on the plate kedei lelafos v'sapas? That's a much smaller shear than if I was only eating potatoes. What about food that is not added as an accompanying side dish to your main course, but rather you eat it on its own? Is kedei lechol heimenu shtei sudos? I don't know. I'd love to know if anybody gives me an example of this. Oh. I think he's going to talk now about basar. Let's see if I'm right. Basar chai. In other words, if I was serving you a meal with meat on it, the meat would be cooked or roasted. But now he's bringing meat that was heavily salted, but it's still raw. And if there's enough salting, then apparently it's edible. So now it became soft. Again, it's not something that you would serve your guests if you like them, but if need be, you know, you could make a meal out of raw salted meat. I don't know, it sounds to me very dangerous, but the Gemara says it's okay. But how much of the shears could they lechol heimenu shtei seudos? In other words, you would never put this meat that's raw on your plate as a side dish. But what you could do is, you know, if you're desperate and that's all you have to eat, you can eat it as a meal unto itself. But then you're going to need a much larger shear for mazon shtei sudos for an eruv. Basar tzli, so you have roasted meat, is Rabba Omar kedei lechol bo. In other words, you have a meal with a piece of bread and we're adding roasted meat. How much roasted meat do you have to add to a meal in which you break bread? So you're already filling yourself up on bread to some extent, so you don't need that much meat. You need a lesser volume of meat. But Rav Yosef Amar, kedei lechol heimenu, you need enough meat that you would eat as a separate suda. How much meat would you eat, forgetting about the bread, if all you had was that meat? And now we're talking about roasted meat. So this appella, Rav Yosef, because roasted meat is certainly something that comes lelafos b'sapas. It's a major part of a suuda. So I understand Rabbi, I don't understand Rav Yosef. I'm Rav Yosef, minam minale. How do I know this? That in the case of basar tzli, it's not lelafos b'sapas, but rather I need a shear to make a whole meal simply, exclusively out of roast meat. And I think by asking the question, you know, immediately he's implying that most people would eat roast meat as part of a meal, not as a separate meal. So he must have some pressing sauce for this halacha. And he says, the hani parsoi achli tavake below nama. Now again, why the halacha depends upon these parsiim, that's what we have to understand in Rav Yosef. But the parsiim would eat pieces of roast meat as a meal without lechem, without a pas. That jacks up the volume of roast meat that you need, and that's going to now be mechayev us when we make an eruv to require a larger volume of roast meat because of the parsiyah. Omale Abaye, so Abaye objects, as he always does to Rav Yosef. It will parsi have a ruba di alma. What does it have to do with me? Just because the parsi you make a meal out of roast meat without bread, that's going to be machayev meat to make an eruv. that's got a volume that's greater than that of what would be Lelafis and Sapas? Are they representing Rov or Olam? They have their minhag. And basically, we should apply the principle of Butler Daito, it's a Koladam. The Rov is always bought, the Miyun is always bought to the Rov. So what do I care about the Parsiyu? Vatnan, and we have a Mishnah. Okay, he points out that there is no such Mishnah, it's a Braisa. And the case is Kabolas Tuma. You have a cloth, and what kind of patch, let's say you have a very small piece of cloth, would it be makabel tumah? Is it called a beged or not? So you'll tell me, well, the poor people would use such a small piece of cloth for a patch if they had a hole in their jeans. You know, you patch up jeans. Today people don't even bother patching up jeans, but in the old days. So the aniyim, the poor people, would use a small piece of cloth to patch up a rip on their pants. That's not something that a rich person would do. So would the shear of beged be determined by the aniyim? Well, the Mishnah says, but it's no Mishnah Sabraisa, that big the aniyim, that if you're talking about a cloth that's owned by a poor person, it has the shear of what's called Shalosh Etzbos al Shalosh Etzbos, it's a very small patch, is, in such a case, it's Mekabel Tumah, even though it's not a beged for you and I, but for Aniyim Nebuchadnezzar would be a beged. So it means that only in a case where this small cloth of Gimel Atzbos was owned by an Ani, then we apply Kabbalah's Tumah, it's a Shem Beged for the Ani, in a relativity theory. Big Dei Ashirim. However, in the case of a small cloth that is owned by a rich person, there the shear is Shalosh al Shalosh Tfachim, which is a lot larger. I mean, that's understating than Shalosh al Shalosh Etzbos. That's for the Ashirim. And now in Daf Lamed, Aval Big Dei Ashirim Laniyim Lo, which means the following, that if you have a beged of an ani, ain't tzarich sheyeh bahem shir achashiv gam be'einei ashirim kedei lekabel tumah. So the shir katan, which is enough of chashivus of a beged for an ani, shol shal shos its bows, on a kabel tumah. Here too, in the case of basar tzli for an eruv, even though for the parsiim they don't use basar tzli as a side dish in a meal, and we have to jack up the size, is therefore, if you were a Jew from Paras, you know, you're an Iranian, then you have to jack up the shear of shtei sudos to basar tzli b'fnei atzmo, eaten as a separate meal. But shar b'nei olam, as far as the rest of the world is concerned, darkom lelafos bos hapas v'ein negror machreim eladaylem shir kedei lelafos hapas shel shtei sudos. So basically, Abaye is disproving Rav Yosef's shita, which is based on the Parsim, from the Mishnah or the Braisa with regard to a chal shem beged for Kabbalah's Tumah. So let's just give a summary in English here. He says, Abaye offers a proof that the custom of one group of people does not determine the law for others, because it's taught in a Braisa, which sets the minimum size at which a cloth is subject to the laws of ritual impurity. Clothing of poor people would use even a piece of cloth that's only 3 fingers width by 3 fingers is subject to the law of tumah if it's in the possession of poor people. Clothing of wealthy people would use a piece of cloth only when it's at least 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, and then it's subject to the laws of tumah. when it's in the possession of wealthy people. However, the clothing of wealthy people in a possession of poor people does not have to be three tefachim by three tefachim to become tameh. No, it's clothing meaning what normally would be a beged for a rich person, which means three tefachim. You don't need that size of a beged if it's in the possession of poor people. But we see clearly that the laws determine for distinct groups of people independently, or I would say relative to that group. And therefore, the Persian custom of eating roast meat should not determine the law for anybody else. So the rest of the world, which eats meat with bread, should be permitted to place in their aver a smaller measurement, the amount of meat that is consumed during the course of a meal, times two. The chitem, and if you'll say, then maybe here, we can support Rav Yosef and say that in the case of Tuma, we're machmir, and we, therefore, the leniencies applicable to wealthy people are not going to be extended to the poor people, meaning that although for a rich person there's no kapalas tumah in the beged if it's less than three tefachim on three tefachim, we're going to be machmir in the case of the oni, and we're not going to accept that kula in tumah that you could be mitara beged if it's less than three tefachim. We're going to say lechumra with a beged of three etzbos, but hacha lechumra. But here also, if we want to go lechumra, then we should be strict, and we're not going to allow the smaller measures of food to be used unless everybody on the face of the earth eats it with bread. So we have the parsi. V'atanya Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer ma'arvim lechole lezaken kidei mizono, that we're going to make an eruv for a sick person or an elderly person according to his consumption. He eats less than most people, and therefore a small amount of food is sufficient. Well, a ravton, but if he's a gluttonous person, b'seuda beinanish shall call oda. You know, you have to give him at least the, you know, for the eruv, you have to give him at least the average meal. So this brisa applies a leniency in eruvin to the case of the elderly and the sick, permitting them to use less food for their eruv than the average person, to glutton, permitting him to use less than his normal consumption, but rather kisuda beinanis. So that refutes the premise that we want to rule lechumra in eruvin. And this we said at the beginning of our sugya, that in eruvin we go lekula, is kasha, therefore we have no way of defending Rav Yosef's opinion. And believe it, tomorrow we're going to pick up this last statement here in Rav Shimon Elazar in the Brice about Leravton Bisa'uda Beinanis Shel Kol Oda. So we're going to end here on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, and we're up to line 4, down from the top of the page. So we just started the flowers.